Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, with keepeth truth forever and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue this evening's worship service singing together from Psalter 300, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 9. O God, whom I delight to praise, to thee my cry for help I raise. Be thou my friend and advocate when foes assail with bitter hate. Psalter 300, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 9. Scripture reading for this evening can be found in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 16, and we'll read verse 1 through 20, Matthew 16, beginning at verse 1. But first we'll read here the 12 articles of our Catholic Christian undoubted faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mention to you Matthew 16. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Thus far.
Congregation, let us pray together and ask the Lord for his blessing and his presence. Merciful, gracious Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, on this first day of the week for the second time, we may be together in thy house with our children as a congregation. The doors of thy house again have been opened, and thou art yet willing to speak unto us unworthy, wretched sinners. And Lord, we then think of those who cannot gather in freedom to worship thee, the church, thy dear sheep over this earth that are persecuted for thy name's sake. Remember them. But wilt thou also give that this great privilege that we may have may not testify against us, but that we may truly come into thy house as unworthy beggars. And may there be those among us also, may there be many who came prayerfully begging thee for thy blessing, begging thee that thou would work among us, that thou would visit, that thou would bless thy word to the hearts of sinners. And Lord, we beg and ask thee, thou who art that almighty, faithful, covenant-keeping Jehovah, who will work through the generations, who will work as thou hast promised unto the end of the world, that thou wilt gather thy sheep through the foolishness of preaching, of the preaching of the gospel. Oh, may it also be so among us that there may be many gathered by thee, Lord, that thou would work irresistibly, mightily, powerfully by thy word and spirit, that thou would open spiritually deaf ears to hear thy voice, for thou hast said that thy sheep will hear thy voice. Oh, may they hear thy voice as thou who art that great prophet, that priest and king, that they may hear thy voice through the law, that they may be convicted and convinced of their sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, that sinners may become lost sinners, guilty sinners, that sinners become stripped of all their self-righteousnesses and become bankrupt, and come to the end of everything in self, into the midst of death, that there is room in the hearts for that only Savior, for thy dear Son, the Mediator, whom thou hast sent into this world to seek and to save lost sinners. Lord, wilt thou come among us tonight then, and seek and save lost sinners? Sinners who have no hunger for thee, no thirst for thee, who do not seek for thee, and that is who we are by nature. We have left thee, we have given our backs to thee, and by nature we continue on that broad way, hearing law, hearing gospel, and yet continuing on. Maybe a little moved, and yet no hunger, no thirst, no need. Lord, we beg and pray thee for thy name's sake, for thy honor, for thy glory, and for the eternal welfare of boys and girls, teenagers, adults, older ones. Lord, that thou would renew and translate from the kingdom of darkness into thy kingdom. Lord, it's thy work. Lord, we beg thee then, unto whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Thou alone art that almighty God of free and sovereign grace. Thou alone can give dead sinners life, whether they are living as a Pharisee, self-righteous, or whether they are living, serving self in the world. O Lord, we beg thee then that thou would have mercy before it is forever too late. Oh, may sinners become guilty sinners, not only of sinning against thy law, but also of that great sin against the gospel of unbelief. But Lord, remember also those who have been made alive. Oh, remember those poor sinners who have a load of guilt on their back and are seeking for that way to be forgiven, that way for the guilt to be taken away, that way to be reconciled with thee. Oh, may they hear tonight of that only way through thy dear Son. And, oh Lord, we beg thee, as tonight we must begin to speak of the keys of the kingdom of heaven, what a responsibility to preach thy precious word. Oh, wilt thou guide and leave and give the unction of the Holy Spirit, that we may speak according to the full counsel of God, death in Adam and life in Christ, and how thou wilt deliver sinners, but also as that door is opened into that kingdom of heaven by faith, faith in that only Savior, in thy dear Son, and it is shut to unbelievers. Oh, may we beg thee tonight, those who must conclude that they are unbelievers. Oh, may they go home so lost, so guilty. Oh, wilt thou bring them to that place on their knees as beggars, crying out unto thee for that grace that would lead them to true repentance, but also true faith in thy Son. And Lord, remember those whom thou hast begun in, and maybe they cannot say that and they don't have the comfort, but oh, thou knowest those who are like that jailer who cried out, what must I do to be saved? Oh, may they hear it as thou hast given that answer from thy servant unto him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Oh, wilt thou give that gift of true saving faith in the hearts of sinners to look away from self, to look unto thy Son, oh, reveal him by the first time or by renewal, and draw unto him and give faith that it may be an exercise and that they may see him for the first time or by renewal. Lord, come. Come among us, reveal thyself, and teach us of that precious gospel, that it's salvation by faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone, and it will be to the glory of thy holy and worthy name alone. Lord, take away then all the obstacles in listening, but also in preaching. Give much prayer, Lord. May we be, by thy grace, a praying and a supplicating congregation, begging thee for those gifts that thou alone can give. Oh, may we be together looking up unto thee, from whom cometh all our help, especially for our never-dying souls. Lord, look upon us in mercy, because we are sinful, we're polluted, we're guilty, we have no rights. But may we beg thee, as we have sung, that thou would look upon us through that advocate, that thou would visit us, that thou would give us those blessings that no man can give us, but thou alone. Lord, look upon us in mercy and give those blessings unto children, boys and girls, and to older ones. Lord, remember those who had a desire to gather with us, and due to various reasons that they could not, may they also be given the means to listen along, and that thou would give them a blessing in their homes. Remember those who had the opportunity and had no desire to gather with us. Oh, remember them also in thy mercy, Lord. Remember prodigal sons and daughters. Oh, wilt thou bring them to themselves? Give life, and that they may repent and flee from the world, and that they may enter into thy house, that thy word may be opened. Oh, that they may become seekers and beggars. Lord, do wonders for thy great name's sake. Remember all the mourning ones. Comfort them, all the sick and afflicted, all those with special cares and needs for their body and for their mind. Remember those with special needs and those who care for them. Help them, Lord. Lord, we beg thee that thou would remember also the education of our dear children in our homes, but also at school. Lord, remember Rehoboth Christian School. May we thank thee that thou hast given a place where we may send our children and trusting that they receive a Christian education. What a blessing, but what a responsibility to be a teacher in a Christian school. Lord, help each teacher. Give them the tender fear of the Lord in their hearts. And we beg thee that thou would richly bless thy word, that boys and girls, teenagers, by the power of thy Holy Spirit and word, may be regenerated and come to know who they are, but also that they may be made wise unto that only way of salvation through thy dear Son. Lord, remember the school board, guide them, lead them by thy word and spirit, and care for the whole staff, the bus drivers, and each student. Lord, may we lay before thee also the government that thou hast placed over us. Oh, we beg and beseech thee, Lord, work in their hearts. Wilt thou give them the tender fear of the Lord in their hearts? Oh, that they may begin each day on their knees. Oh, that we may have a praying government, a praying prime minister. What a blessing. And that thy word may be opened. Oh, that they may search the scriptures and search how they must lead and govern this country. Lord, give repentance of all our sin against all thy commandments and against all that thou hast proclaimed in thy word. Oh, our sins are great and many. Have mercy upon us, Lord, and give that there may be a returning unto thee and to thy word. Lord, remember this world and all the turmoil. Oh, wilt thou give peace, but not only peace, that there would not be wars, but wilt thou bless thy word, and that many, may it be through the nations, may be seeking that true peace. Oh, may they see there is no peace for the wicked, and that we are wicked by nature, and that we only deserve wrath. But oh, may they hear also of that only way of peace through thee, by thy grace, through thy Son. Lord, bless thy word. May there be opening throughout the world, and that thy kingdom may come. Lord, may we beg and beseech thee that thou would thrust out more labors into thy vineyard to proclaim thy precious word, that there may be ambassadors and that they may go out for thy name's sake, for thy honor, for thy glory, for thy kingdom, for the coming generation. O Lord, we beg thee, wilt thou also in our beloved denomination call and send out, and that we may rejoice in thy works. Lord, remember us in mercy. And may we also acknowledge thee for the students that thou hast given. Help them also when they come to the end of the year and there will be exams. Lord, be on their left and on their right. Teach them in their hearts and open their mouths. And Lord, remember the instructors. We beg thee also on the mission field. Lord, wilt thou call men in Bolivia who know of thy grace also, and that they may come forward, and that they may be accepted, and that it may be in thy favor. Lord, thou knowest those who struggle with this burden. Oh, wilt thou speak, and that they know they must come forward, and that they may surrender, and that doors may be opened. Lord, wilt thou also provide for that need of a church worker. Lord, thou art a wonder-doing God. It's thy kingdom. Thou art the king of the church. Lord, supply for thy name's sake. Remember elders and deacons also here in this church and throughout the denomination. Help them, Lord, sinful men, sons of men, but give grace, give faithfulness to thy word, and to guide and lead the congregations. Lord, we beg thee, do not pass us by, but give yet that thou would work among us, that we may hear of sinners who are born again, and that we may hear those cries, what must I do to be saved? And that thou would guide us and lead us, and that we may proclaim thy precious gospel unto them. Lord, thou also knowest the needs as a congregation with the building. Lord, we beg thee that thou would incline the hearts of those who must give permits, who must give permission, for without it we cannot go forward. Lord, if it is thy will, move their hearts, and that they may then also open the way, and that there may be also in the future room for the whole congregation and for our dear children to gather to hear thy precious word. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. Come among us, Lord. Give much prayer. Give opening. Each time is a new time. Each time without thee, Lord, we can do nothing. We depend upon thee and thy spirit to preach and to listen. Lord, come. Give a little taste of thy favor. Give a little crumb from the master's table. Oh, feed those hungry and thirsty souls with the bread of life. Lord, we deserve nothing. We sin everything away. But, oh, we beg thee for thy name's sake, for thy honor, for thy glory. Wash and cleanse us, Lord, of all our many sins, we ask and beg in the name of thy dear Son, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue with singing from Psalter 200, all four stanzas. Christ shall have dominion over land and sea. Earth's remotest regions shall his empire be. They that wilds inhabit shall their worship bring. Kings shall render tribute, nations serve our King. Psalter 200, all four stanzas, and the collections for this evening is for the church and the church building fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts.
Thank you.
Dear congregation, we all know the importance of a key. A key gives us ability to enter certain places. Not having a key excludes us from entering a certain place. And we all have locks. We have locks on our vehicles. We have locks on our homes. We use it for security. Why? So no stranger can enter into a place that is ours. So we use a key for security. A key is used to open the way for some and to shut the way for others. This church building also has physical keys. And when I came here, I received a copy so I could enter this building with a key. So keys are important. Keys open a way. But another question, does the church of God, the church of Jesus Christ, does that spiritual church, does that church have keys? No, not literal keys, children, but do they have a key? Do they have keys? Does the kingdom of heaven have keys? Well, what did we read of? What did you hear from the chapter that the elder read from Matthew 16, verse 19? And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So we hear of keys. What are these keys of the kingdom of heaven? And how is the church called to use these keys? Do these keys open the kingdom of heaven to some? And do these keys shut the kingdom to others? What a solemn thought to be shut out of the kingdom of heaven. The Bible teaches, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself has taught about the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And our forefathers summarized it in the Heidelberg Catechism about the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And that is what we read in Lord's Day 31. And tonight, with the Lord's help, we will consider the first two questions and answers, and the Lord willing, next week, the third. So tonight, we will consider from Lord's Day 31, questions and answers 83 and 84. Question and answer 83. What are the keys of the kingdom of heaven? The answer, the preaching of the Holy Gospel and church discipline or excommunication out of the Christian church. By these two, the kingdom of heaven is opened to believers and shut against unbelievers. Question and answer 84. How is the kingdom of heaven opened and shut by the preaching of the Holy Gospel? Answer, thus, when according to the command of Christ, it is declared and publicly testified to all and every believer that whenever they receive the promise of the gospel by a true faith, all their sins are really forgiven them of God for the sake of Christ's merits. And on the contrary, when it is declared and testified to all unbelievers and such as do not sincerely repent, that they stand exposed to the wrath of God and eternal condemnation, so long as they are unconverted, according to which the testimony of the gospel, God will judge them both in this and in the life to come. So we hear of the keys of the kingdom of heaven. That's our theme. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. First, we will have an introduction and we will consider question and answer 83. What are these keys? What is the kingdom of heaven? What is the door? What is the way? So an introduction. And then secondly, we will consider the first key, the preaching of the gospel. And then we will focus on question and answer 84. So, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So, an introduction to the two keys. And then the first key, the preaching of the gospel. And so with the Lord's help, our first thought, an introduction to the two keys of the kingdom. And children, these are not literal keys. No, it's a figure of speech that there's keys to the kingdom of heaven. But why do we come at this time in the Heidelberg Catechism to speak about the keys of the kingdom of heaven? Well, then we need to turn back to the previous Lord's Day, question and answer 82. Are they also to be admitted to the supper who by confession and life declare themselves unbelieving and ungodly? No. For by this the covenant of God would be profaned and his wrath kindled against the whole congregation. Therefore it is the duty of the Christian church, according to the appointment of Christ and his apostles, to exclude such persons by the keys of the kingdom of heaven till they show amendment of life. So in the last Lord's days, we have been considered the holy sacraments. And the holy sacraments have holy signs and seals. Two sacraments, holy baptism and holy supper. And they need to be kept holy. How? How? What is one way? To use the keys of the kingdom of heaven. That those who by confession or by life live ungodly, they must be excluded. Why? So that God's wrath is not kindled against the whole congregation. What a thought. Who would dare to attend? Who would feel right to attend? And yet, we know from the form, it's not that those that do not have sin, but those who feel in the midst of death and seek entire salvation only in Jesus Christ are welcome to attend and will be received in mercy. But those who by confession and by their life live ungodly must be excluded. And the Lord Jesus Christ has exhorted, no, has commanded his church to use the keys of the kingdom of heaven and that they would come to repentance. So who possesses the keys of the kingdom of heaven? And how are these keys to be used? To answer these questions, we first need to understand what is the kingdom of heaven? What is the kingdom of heaven? Who spoke very often in the Bible about the kingdom of heaven? The Lord Jesus Christ himself did. For example, what we read in Matthew 3, verse 2, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And in the parables, the Lord Jesus Christ gave many pictures, illustrations, and he spoke very often about the kingdom of heaven. He compared it to a mustard seed. He compared it to a treasure in a field. And he compared it to a wedding feast. And he spoke about a wedding garment. Who may come to the Lord's Supper? Those who have a wedding garment. What does that mean? Those who are unrighteous in self and seek that only righteousness completely, entirely in the precious Lord Jesus Christ. Did you attend? Did you come with a wedding garment? No, not physically. But did you come with an only hope in the Lord Jesus Christ as an unrighteous one, longing to be righteous and needing that clothing of him, of his righteousness? So what is the kingdom of heaven? To answer this question, I will first say what the kingdom of heaven is not. It's not an earthly kingdom. In the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, there were those who taught, the rabbis, who taught that it was an earthly kingdom. And what about the disciples? They also thought of the kingdom of heaven only as an earthly kingdom. And they even asked the Lord Jesus, even before he ascended, after he had suffered, after he had died, after he had shed his blood, they asked him, at this time, wilt thou restore the kingdom? Still thoughts of an earthly kingdom? We read this in Acts 1 verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Open your Bible to John 18. The Lord Jesus Christ made it very clear that the kingdom of heaven is not of this world. It's not an earthly kingdom. What did he say? What did the Lord Jesus Christ himself teach about the kingdom? Well, we read this in John 18, verse 36, for example. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. So the Lord makes it very clear that the kingdom of heaven is not of this earth. And what did Paul write about the kingdom of heaven? What do we read in Romans 14, verse 17? He wrote something very beautiful explaining what the kingdom of heaven is. Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of heaven. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So what is the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven is the rule and dominion of his grace of the Lord in the hearts of sinners. It's in the heart of the invisible church upon this earth among Jews and Gentiles. It's in the hearts of sinners. It's a kingdom of grace. Of grace for unworthy sinners. No, for hell-worthy sinners. The kingdom of heaven consists of those who have been born again, who have been saved by grace, of boys, girls, teenagers, men, women, throughout the entire world. And it's two parts. The kingdom in heaven, the part that's in heaven, the triumphant, and also those on the earth, the militant. One kingdom of heaven, one king, one shepherd, with one big flock of sheep. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, he conquers hearts. He renews hearts. He gives life. Life so that they become lost in self, but also more willing with the whole heart to serve him, the King of Kings, the King of the Church. He takes them out of the kingdom of darkness and he translates them. It's his work. It's his power. He brings them into the kingdom of his dear son. Paul made that very clear in Colossians 1 verse 13. Who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. What is the kingdom of heaven? What did the Lord Jesus Christ say in Luke 17, verse 21? For the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. He sends his Holy Spirit. Born again sinners are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is in them. And now we have a question. Are all in the kingdom of heaven? Are we born by nature in the kingdom of heaven? If someone asked you, teenagers, congregation, what would be your answer? No, we're not born in the kingdom. We're born outside of the kingdom. And we need to be brought into that kingdom. By our rebellion in paradise, we are shut out of the kingdom. The door is shut to the kingdom of heaven. We live under a broken covenant of works, unable to enter and even unwilling, no desire. We are enemies of the king, enemies of the church, lost, sinful, rebellious, no need, no love, just one mass of sin. Born outside of the kingdom. And no matter how hard we try in all kinds of different ways, we cannot with anything of self enter into that kingdom of God. And even those who are taught, they find an experience outside of the kingdom of God. And their righteousness, even that becomes just filthy rags. And they experience, by God's grace, sinners experience outside, shut out of the kingdom of heaven, lost. Have you experienced that you're not born in the kingdom of heaven? That you're outside of the kingdom of heaven? No, not that you're just a little sick and you need a little help. You need a little medicine to make yourself just a little better. But you're lost, dead in sins and trespasses. And you need a radical renewal. You need someone to take you out of the kingdom of darkness that you're born in and to bring you in, translate you into the kingdom. Is there hope? What if someone asked you? You explained that we're born dead in sins and trespasses, born outside of the kingdom, and they ask, is there hope? Yes, there is hope. Why? Because that kingdom has a door. That kingdom has a door, and there's a way into that kingdom for absolute, unworthy, wretched, filthy, polluted sinners. And if someone asked you then, what's the way? Who's the door? What would you answer? Who's the door, congregation? What's the way back to God? What's the way into that kingdom? What's the only way? What would be your answer? Yes, you need to tell them. What's the answer? Not only lost, worthy of wrath, sin, dead, but you also need to tell them of the way. You need to speak of sin and salvation, J.C. Philpott. That's the whole in a nutshell of evangelism, of mission work, sin and salvation. Who's the door? Are there sinners here tonight seeking a way? What's the way? What's the door? Then as an ambassador, I may joyfully proclaim to you and point to him, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the door. He's not a door. He's the door. There's not other doors. There's only one door into the kingdom of heaven. And God the Father, by the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit and the Word, renews sinners, delivers them, brings them into the kingdom of his Son, and he teaches them by his Word and Spirit where they become lost. But by his grace, they truly do repent of all their sin, and who truly believe in his Son. The King of the kingdom of heaven is the only way back to God. The good news is the gospel. And it's good news for who? For lost sinners. And the good news is the way is through him. Through that only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. By God's grace, absolute unworthy citizens are made citizens. Made citizens. How? How could that be possible? That holy, infinite God would gather sinners. A God who is too pure to look upon sin, who would gather sinners to enter into his kingdom, to be around his throne, that he can glory in them and they can glory in him eternally. How is that ever possible? It's only through the merits of him who's the door, through his righteousness, through his blood. And so the word of God speaks about the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What is the purpose of having a key if there's no door? Well, there's a door. If you have keys to your house and there's no door, you can't enter into your house. But there's a key and there's a door so you can enter in. The Bible speaks about keys, implies that there's a way into the kingdom, a way into the kingdom of God. And this is an illustration. It's symbolic. Who has the keys? Who has the keys to the kingdom of heaven? Does fallen man? No. And yet, yes. No, fallen man doesn't. And yet they do. Why? We'll hear that in a while. But who has possession of the keys of the kingdom of heaven? The King of the church. The Lord Jesus Christ. He does. Let's read two verses from the Bible that speak that Jesus Christ has the keys of the kingdom. First, we will read Isaiah 22, verse 22. Open your Bible. Isaiah 22, verse 22. Isaiah 22, 22. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open, and none shall shut. And he shall shut, and none shall open. And now open your Bible to Revelation 3, verse 7. Revelation 3, verse 7. Who has the keys? The Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the kingdom, the Son of David. Revelation 3, verse 7, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. So who has the keys? The Son of David. Who's the Son of David? The Lord Jesus Christ. How did he merit the keys? How does he have the keys? How did he merit the keys? How did he open the way to God? Remember when man rebelled at the entrance to paradise? What was before that entrance? Teenagers, children, what's there? There was the flaming sword. And no man could pass that flaming sword. It speaks of God's justice. Adam was barred from the presence of God, barred from the tree of life, barred, cast out, separated. And Jesus Christ came. He came as the Lamb of God, and he came to open the way, to be the door. He has the keys to the kingdom of heaven. How did he open the way? How did he open that way for sinners who have absolutely no way in themselves to ever open that door at all? That they only meet by themselves a door that's locked, and they cannot open it, not by their tears, not by their prayers, not by their zeal, nothing, locked. But he came. He came to open it. How? By willingly allowing the sword of God's justice to fall upon him. He came to be the door. And he is the door. He opened the way. How? By his death, by his blood, by his life, by his righteousness. He satisfied the justice of God. That sword that should fall upon your head and my head has fallen upon him. And God the Father. And I say it in my own words, I paraphrase, awake, O sword, and fall upon my fellow shepherd. And it fell upon his son. And his son willingly allowed that sword of the justice of God that should fall upon absolute wretched sinners. And through that way of that sword falling upon him, he opened the way. He opened the way back to God. He's that substitute. That substitute for lost, hell-worthy sinners. And there's a door. A door. It's him. It's Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way back to God. He's the way back to the very heart of God. What a wonder. And the door has been opened by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ has the key. He's the door and he has the key to the kingdom of heaven. And he has power, congregation. He's almighty. He has power, children. What power? To renew hearts. To open closed doors of our hearts. Hearts that are locked for him by nature. Locked for God. And he stands at the door and he knocks. Yes, he sincerely does. But by nature, we don't open. But he has that power. Power to open hearts. Open for him, for that mediator. Jesus Christ is the mediator of the covenant. And by his merits, God and sinners are reconciled. It's all through him. Through him, there's a way. Through him, there's peace. Through him, there's joy. Through him, there's righteousness by the application of the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul wrote, as we quoted early, that the kingdom of heaven is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost because of the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. And on the cross, he said, finished. And he was given all power, as he said in Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Jesus Christ, if he opens, no man can shut. But if he shuts, no man can open. He has the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And now an amazing thing, that King of kings and Lord of lords that has the keys to the kingdom of heaven, he has given to his church. He has delegated authority to his church that they would use the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Let's read Matthew 16, verse 19 again. And I will give unto thee, Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to the apostles. He's just speaking to what we would say the office bearers of the church. I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. But John also describes it more. We read in John 20, verse 23. John 20, verse 23. Listen, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Simply, whosoever sins you say they are forgiven, are forgiven. How are we to understand these words of the Lord Jesus Christ? Does that mean that man has the power to forgive sins? No, not at all. Not at all. Salvation is the work of an almighty God. And who has power to forgive sins, children? He said, that ye may know that the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, he alone has power to forgive sins. What does that tell us? That we need to seek it in him. Don't seek it in the church. No, seek it in the mediator, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Man doesn't have the power. The Pope doesn't have power to forgive sins. So what do these words mean? Why did the Lord say what he said in John 20, verse 23, in Matthew 16, verse 19? The Lord Jesus Christ, as the King of the church, has given authority to his church upon earth. To whom? To sinful representatives, to sinful men, to govern, to rule in his church under him, the chief office bearer. What a responsibility. What a responsibility to use the keys of the kingdom of heaven under the great ambassador, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who has the keys today? Who? The office bearers in the church. They have the keys to the kingdom of heaven. They have been given them by the Lord Jesus Christ. And who are the office bearers? The deacons, the elders, and a minister. They are called to use the keys of the kingdom. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he works by word and spirit, and he calls men, sinful men, insignificant instruments to rule and govern in his church, to use the keys of the kingdom. And so when you go to church and you hear a reading service, or when you hear the preaching of the word, who's speaking to you? The Lord Jesus Christ, through his word, is speaking. You are hearing the word of God, but it comes to you from the King of the church. What a thought! God is speaking to you through law and gospel. And so this is an introduction to the keys of the kingdom. What are the two keys? What do we read in 83? Two keys: Christian discipline and the preaching of the gospel. And so now we will focus on our second thought, on the key of the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel opens the door or closes the door. The preaching of the gospel locks the door to some and it unlocks the door to others. The door, the way into the kingdom of heaven by the preaching of the gospel. When we have something valuable, we lock it so no one else can take it. So strangers cannot come and take it. It's locked. It's behind a locked door because they have no right to it. And who has a right to the kingdom of heaven? No one. Absolutely no one. It's locked to depraved sinners. It's shut because of our sin. No one, no man, no woman, no boy, no girl has a right to the kingdom of heaven. And yet there's a key of the preaching of the gospel. By nature, we have no desire to be in this kingdom. We have no desire for the King of the kingdom. We're lost. We have no need, no hunger, no thirst, nothing. It's all dead. Oh, yes. We would love to escape hell. But do we really want to be in the kingdom of heaven for the King of the kingdom? Is there a need for him? Is there hunger for him? Is there need for his blood? Is there need for his righteousness? We have become absolute, miserable, wretched creatures. And we will remain this way. But we will remain this way outside of the kingdom of heaven. And yet God, that almighty God that we have sinned against, in his mercy and in his goodness, sent his son. But he didn't only send his son. He mercifully sends out messengers. He sends out ambassadors. He gives elders. He gives deacons. He gives missionaries. He gives pastors that they need to proclaim the way back to God. That they need to preach the kingdom of heaven and the way, the door. And what a burden. What a burden to preach. Woe am I if I preach not the gospel. But what a responsibility to preach the full counsel of God. Yes, the full counsel. The full counsel of God. And the Lord, in the preaching, he speaks. He speaks to you. He wants your ear. He wants your heart. He says, my son, give me thy heart. Are there sinners here tonight who long to hear the way back to God? Are there sinners like Christian, awakened in the city of destruction and feel their burden of sin and are begging, seeking that way back to God, that they need to be pointed by evangelists to that door, to that only door, the precious Lord Jesus Christ? He's the door. Are there sinners with a load of guilt and they try to find the way, and maybe they've gone out of the way, they've been pointed to that only door? But as Christian, they try to find it by the law, brought there in deceit by false preaching, simply said. That by the law, you can find that way. You can be delivered by the law. And what did he experience? What did he feel? He felt that Mount Sinai would fall upon him and crush him. And then he needed to be instructed. He needed to be instructed again. He needed to be pointed to that only door, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know from your side that you're outside of the kingdom of heaven? And do you see that door from your side, from everything that you have, everything that you bring forth, the door is just locked? And that you only meet a sword of the justice of God? And do you know and confess that you deserve that the door remains locked and shut because of your sin? And forever you deserve to be under the wrath of God. And yet in your heart, because the Lord renewed you and poured love in your heart, you want to know that way back to God. And are you crying? Are you begging? What's the way? And yes, maybe you heard of the way your whole life. But now you need to know it. You need to know it in your heart. You need to know it for your soul. What's the way back to God? Are there such sinners here tonight? Oh, then there's opening to preach the gospel. If there's hungry souls, if there's thirsty souls, God sent his word to us. Why? Children, why do you have a Bible? Why do you have a Bible? Why do we have two Bibles, three Bibles? Why do we have God's precious word? Why do we have that love letter from heaven? Why? To make us wise of the only way of salvation through his dear son. The whole gospel of John can be summarized in one text. That you may hear, that you may know, and that you may believe in my son. And by believing, you may have eternal life. And the epistle of John is to assure those who know that they may know. God sent his word. Do you read it? I hear family visitations. The elders, the deacons, they give a report. And I listen. And I have to tell you, sometimes my heart is so deeply pained. Why? Because I hear. They fear sometimes that the word of God is not even open. Yes, we read it at meals. But there's no seeking. There's no time for meditation. So busy or so absolutely careless. That's painful for your consistory congregation. And you confess, adults, to be a member. And then the Almighty God sees you in your home. No time, no need, no searching the scriptures. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, Search the scriptures because they testify of me. Oh, may you be pricked in your heart to meet God and to know that you must confess that he sent his son and he sent his word to proclaim unto you and to show you who you are and who his son is, but you just leave the Bible closed. What will you say? What will you say? How will you answer? You will not have one word. You will only hear away with you that work iniquity. Open your Bibles. Read your Bibles. Beg the Lord to show me who I am. Show me that way. And may it become urgency. May you become like that jailer that was shaken awake, made alive, and it came in his heart. What must I do to be saved? No, that's just not repeating. It came out of his heart of a need. Oh, I hope I may hear through family visitations that there's beggars crying, asking, what must I do to be saved? I'm just lost. I'm just absolutely lost. A need for a Savior, a need for a way. The preaching of the precious gospel proclaims the way to God. Who said he's the way? Open your Bible to John 10. And there we read of him who says he is the way. John 10, verse 9. The Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. Have you longed to hear the way? The Lord Jesus Christ himself says, I am the door, I am the way. And what a responsible task to preach the full counsel, but it's also a joyful task. When you visit poor sinners, poor sinners that are just lost, it's such a joy to open the Bible and just from the word of God proclaim to them, like Philip did with Eunuch, sitting beside him in the chariot, opening the word of God, opening and proclaiming unto him the way through that precious Savior. There's no greater joy than to be able to do that task. But what a responsibility. And yes, we must proclaim the full counsel of God. All the counsel of God, sin and salvation, hell and heaven, but also especially the gospel must be proclaimed. Let's sing about it. Sing from Psalter 112, the first three stanzas. And may that be true here in Cortland. Psalter 112, the first three stanzas. Before thy people I confess the wonders of thy righteousness. Thou knowest, Lord, that I have made thy great salvation known, thy truth and faithfulness displayed, thy loving kindness shown. 112, 1, 2, and 3. Thank you. Jesus Christ, the King of the Church. He calls sinful men to preach His precious word, the gospel. Recipients of grace are called by Him to be ambassadors, to speak His word. No, not their opinions, not their desires. They must obey the Master. They must obey Him, and through them He is speaking. Listen to what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So in the preaching, when the word of God is proclaimed in Cortland, the Lord Jesus Christ is active. It's His word. He is speaking. He is speaking to you through His word, by His spirit, through the preaching, through a sinful instrument. What is preaching? It's an official declaration of the word of God, of law, and of gospel. And ambassadors must speak on behalf of the King of the Church. What must they preach? The faithful word of God. They must expound the word of God, of what the Lord says in His word. What must they preach? The same as their master. What did the Lord Jesus Christ, why did He begin His ministry? What do we read in Mark 1 verse 15? The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. And He also said in Luke 24 verse 47 that repentance and remission of sins must be preached, beginning at Jerusalem and to all nations. The gospel must be proclaimed. Why? Because through the preaching of the gospel, God gathers His beloved sheep. Through the preaching of the gospel, sinners are born again. Through the preaching of the gospel, it's the means to faith. Sinners are brought to repentance, but also faith in the precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What must that message be? What did our forefathers summarize it in the Canons of Dort, in the second head, Article 5? Listen. Moreover, the promise of the gospel is that whosoever believeth in Christ crucified shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This promise, together with the command to repent and believe, ought to be declared and published to all nations and to all persons promiscuously or freely and without distinction, to whom God, out of His good pleasure, sends the gospel. The Lord, the Almighty God, in His sovereign good pleasure, has brought you under the means of grace, under the administration of the covenant of grace. And He commands to repent and believe. And He promises salvation to them that believe in His Son, in Him crucified. We read in Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, and He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And so we hear two sides. We hear faith, unbelief. We hear of salvation and condemnation. We hear of woe and well. And in the preaching, both must be proclaimed. What is one of the keys of the kingdom of heaven? The preaching of the gospel. How is the kingdom of heaven opened by the keys of the kingdom? By the preaching of the gospel. For whom is the kingdom of heaven opened? And to whom? Think about it. Who is the kingdom of heaven shut to? It's open to them who by God's grace have true saving faith in that only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And to whom is it closed? To all unbelievers. To whoever you are, unbelievers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the door is shut. The kingdom of heaven is closed. It's closed. open to believers. Why? Because of their faith? Because of who they are? No, because their faith connects to the precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, because His merits opened it. His merits opened the way. His merits, He's the door. It's all through Him. It connects to Him, that gift of faith. But those who reject, who hear, and you've all heard the gospel how many times? And I cannot let you just go and say, well, the Lord has to bless it. I can't help it. I'm unconverted. The Lord needs to do it. Yes, it's true. But you can never hide behind it. You need to become guilty because of your unbelief, guilty because of your sin against the law, but also guilty, so guilty against rejecting the Son of God, who has come for years already and stretched out His arms unto you, and who is called sincerely, come unto Me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He told you, you need rest. He tells you your sin. He tells you He's the way. But if you only carry on rejecting, living according to the sins of your pleasures, of your flesh, the door is shut. Shut. Shut out of the kingdom of heaven. I hope you become so uncomfortable. I hope this comes with an arrow in your heart. It's my guilt. It's my sin. It's my wickedness. No hiding behind any doctrines anymore. Even the absolute truth. But just becoming lost. Why? Because that's the way. That's the way the Spirit works. We need to be humbled. We need to be broken. We need life. We need grace. We need to bow. We need to surrender. We need to just become who we really are. Guilty. Enemies before an almighty holy God, and that we sin against the law, and that we sin against the gospel. The door is shut. Is that you? Is that you? Are you an unbeliever? And no, sometimes we can make copies of the keys, right? We can make a copy, and everybody can have a key. But no, we can't make copies. It needs to be true. I hope you understand what I mean. I wish I could give you a key to that kingdom, but I can't. I have no right to the key myself. I need everything from that same Savior as you do. I need His grace, and I need every day. But there is a key. There is a door, and He has grace. Do you need to enter? Do you long to enter? No, not just to escape out, but to have something of sweet communion with Him, to be delivered from righteous wrath, and to be able to enter into His favor, His eternal favor, to have true peace, true joy, and to be made righteous. Then you may beg Him. That's the beauty. That's the good news. That we become lost, we become guilty, we become bowing, and we become beggars with empty hands. What do we read at the end of the answer? As long as you do not truly repent, and as long as you continue to disobey the gospel and to continue to reject Jesus Christ, the door remains shut. So we hear a little hope. As long. Is it hopeless? Are you just lost? Are you just dead, hard, and unbeliever? Is it lost? In you, yes, but not in God. He still sincerely calls. He still sincerely calls. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. He still stretches out His arms, proclaiming the way that is in Him. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And how shall ye escape if you neglect so great salvation? You will not. I hope this is an arrow in your heart. But you poor sinner, you who long, who long to have that way back to God. Have you? Have you become lost? No, not just in your head, but have you become lost before a holy God? And that you cannot die and meet that judge because of who you are. You will only be sent away. Have you seen that you have sinned against the gospel, sinned against the law, and you have nothing to cover yourself before His holy presence, that you're unrighteous and you need to be righteous? It is their hunger and thirst as a guilty sinner. A hunger and thirst for God. Do you know of that true weeping? That true pain in the heart, of godly sorrow, but also of faith. True saving faith. Was it such good news that you, worthy of condemnation, came to church? Just feeling guilty, lost, and you came to church. And you heard through the preaching of his name. Maybe you heard it for the first time in your ears then. You heard it of that Savior. Or you heard of a rock. Of that rock that you need to be on, of the place of safety. And you cried like the psalmist, lead me to the rock that is higher. Has your heart gone out to him, needing him, longing for him, begging for him as a lost Savior and needing everything in him? Do you love him? Is he precious to you? Is there true saving faith in that Savior? And you don't have any trust in self. You can't pull anything out to show the Lord. It's all sin. Nothing in me. But you're looking. You're longing. You're sighing. You're looking to him. Searching the scriptures for him. For him whom my soul loveth. When will he come? When will he visit? When will he speak? Do you have true saving faith in that precious Savior? Then I must proclaim to you, the door is open. The door is open by faith in that precious Savior because of him, because of what he's done, because of his merits. It's in him and in him alone. And when you die, you will not come to a shut door. The door will be open and he will say, enter. Enter into the kingdom. All the preaching of the gospel, it shuts the door to unbelievers. The key, it shuts the door to unbelievers, but it opens the door wide open for the most vile of sinners who put their trust in the only Savior. And you say, but how? How will I ever repent? How will I ever have faith? I can't work true repentance. I can't work true faith. It's all unbelief. Ask God's children, those sheep, how did they ever come to that place? It's by him. It's by his grace. And he's a God of abundance of grace for the vilest, the cheapest, of the hardest of hearts of sinners. Beg your knees and beg him. Confess who you are. Don't come before him trying to pretend you're someone you're not. Just be honest. Tell him how hard your heart is. Tell him how unbelieving you are. Tell him you've heard of that precious Savior, but you've never been moved. You have no hunger. You have no thirst. Just tell him you're lost. And beg him. Beg him for that grace. He's the God of all grace who has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, and he can give and work exactly what you need. It's all in him. But let's close with what the Lord said in John 3, verse 36. Listen, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Is that you? Oh, may your heart break, because by ourselves we will never believe, but it's his grace. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And now listen, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, we beg thee that thou would richly bless the preaching of the gospel. Oh, may all those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses, living according to their own desires for their own glory, as a Pharisee or as a prodigal, oh, may they become awakened tonight. Oh, may they see it under the wrath of God, shut out of the kingdom of heaven. And Lord, we need thy help to proclaim thy word, and we cannot bring it into the hearts. But thou art that mighty God who can bring it into the hearts, that sinners under the preaching of the gospel would be born again. Lord, do it for thy name's sake, for our children, for teenagers, for boys and girls. Oh Lord, awaken, give life, convict, and teach, and lead and guide to him who said, I am the door. Lord, remember all those poor needy beggars walking with a load of sin. Oh, may they have heard it tonight, that he He's the door. He's the way. Oh, give that faith, and that faith may be an exercise to look unto him, to cry unto him, and that they may have no rest until they come to the door and brought in the door, as we read of Christian, that book that thou hast given, that experiential life of sinners taught by thee. Lord, may we acknowledge thee for thy word thou hast given unto us and to our children to make us wise unto the only way of salvation. May it not testify against us, but may it be to the saving of our souls. Lord, again we ask thee, remember in this week with all the meetings, guide and lead by thy word and spirit, help in all things, and may we have a sense of thy nearness, of thy favor among us, unworthy sinners. Lord, keep us in this week. Forgive our many sins, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing in closing from Psalter 255, stanzas 3 and 4. 255, 3 and 4. To the Lord such might revealing, let us come with reverence meet. And before our Maker kneeling, let us worship at his feet. He is our own God and leads us, we the people of his care. With a shepherd's hand he feeds us, as his flock in pastures fair. 255, stanzas 3 and 4. Dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.